You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is! There we go! Good job, Corey Parson. Wednesday, January 3rd, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman. Joined as always by the fantasy executive.
Hey, Sussman, is Tuesday.
It's Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Jesus. Not off to a great. Can we start over?
Yeah, might as well.
Bavona, can you just play that opening music again? We just need to redo this. Thank you. Here we go. Yeah, we just need to redo this whole thing because there we go. Let's do this again.
Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. My mic is on, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always with the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Angle, Tony Sincotta, going to the next 3 hours for you, up until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Fantasy Best Friends Forever, all reunited in studio, comes your way then. We are also reunited as Corey returns. Scott is here, Tony here, and I'm here as well. Let's do it, Corey. Good morning, my man.
Gotta push the button right there. Got what's the deal? Greg Sussman, here we go. 2017 underway. We've gotten past Black Monday. Time to start talking some baseball. Got some NBA action kicking off tonight. NFL playoffs. It's a lot going on to start the new year. And then, of course, I know we haven't all been together as a team. So a lot of interesting things took place the course of the past couple days that I would like to discuss with you guys. So maybe we'll get into some of that a little bit later on. But other than that, I'm feeling pretty good. I feel refreshed. I feel like I've had a fresh massage.
Yeah, it's amazing what one day off will do to you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Scotty, good morning, my man.
Good morning. It was an interesting evening. Jimmy Butler with his second 50-point game of his career.
Wow.
And it was the eighth in the NBA this season, tying a record. The next one will break a record. He is the only player in Chicago Bulls history besides Michael Jordan to have 50 points in a game more than one time. I was wondering if you were watching the premiere of The Bachelor last night as people got their fantasy Bachelor leagues kicked off, and I understand we had a new star, and it was a very crazy premiere.
I don't watch The Bachelor, so I was not.
Don't watch The Bachelor? That sounds like right up your alley.
Why?
It's just, you know, it's trendy. It's one of the most popular TV shows out there.
Not really anymore.
Sounds like your thing.
No. I've never interested in The Bachelor. It's never a show for me.
I'm a little surprised.
Tony, good morning.
How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm putting some golf lineups together right now.
The SBS Open this week starts tomorrow, right, Tony?
Thursday.
Yes,
today's Tuesday, not Wednesday.
We're all confused.
It's not that I don't know what day it is. I don't know what day the golf starts.
Golf starts Thursday morning.
Yeah. Golf always starts Thursday morning.
Did you have Jimmy Butler in your lineups last night, Tone?
Yeah, and I still didn't win, so.
Oh, boy. Maybe at Harden last night. What a cold start he got off to.
He still finished with a triple-double.
He did. That's how good he is. It's like I saw him missing layups early on.
Yeah, it happens. The basketball, well, one of those things last night, Benny Ricotti, of course, the Lineup Luck Show, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. He said you can win leaving Harden and Westbrook out of your lineup last night, and last night somebody pocketed $150,000 in a New Year's kickoff, leaving those two guys out of the lineup last night as Jimmy Butler and Kemba Walker were the big scorers.
That son of a gun is pretty smart, huh?
Who, Benny?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are times when he is very smart, and then there are times when he's just regular smart. So he's always smart.
So who did this lineup have? Did it have, like, Eric Gordon?
Of course. Yeah. Eric Gordon was in there. And Eric Gordon was there, Trevor Ariza from the Houston Rockets. As I mentioned, Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, Alfred Payton.
Yeah, 14 assists for Alfred last night, yeah.
And the worst hairdo in the National Basketball Association. And then, of course, Aaron Gordon as well from the Orlando Magic.
Alfred Payton, I guess he's just trying to make a statement or something
I'm going to check out this hairdo now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't seen the hair?
Yeah, it's like it precedes him when he runs down the court.
You've seen this dude's hair. So Jeff Hornacek, of course, coming out with the Knicks, basically saying we're not good enough to play defense. So
no, they've they've lost five in a row, and in three of those five, they've allowed 115 points or more, and 100 all of them. And just like Jody Meeks, like started out with like a dozen threes. I'm exaggerating, but like they came right out and they started hitting threes right away, and then just penetrating later on. Like Jody Meeks has really stepped up for the Magic, Tone.
Yeah, but he'll be going back to the Pens.
Yeah, he will.
Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier comes back to play, and the problem is with him and most of the shooting guards, very one-dimensional. He's going to score points, but he's not going to get you rebounds and assists, so it's hard to put those guys into tournament lineups because you're just limited on the amount of points that you can get.
Yeah, but I guess in a seasonal lineup, you know, he can help you for the short term.
Short term. It's all about the short term. Absolutely. I'm using Montrezl Harrell from the Houston Rockets that I picked up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, he had
he's
a good night.
He's a guy that's putting up some big nights compared to once Clint Capella comes back, he'll be back, and then Montrezl Harrell will be back to being obsolete when it comes to fantasy basketball.
Yeah, I was really stupid, Montrezl Harrell. I could have picked him up, but I kind of just waited to see if it would be Harrell or Nene and who would really step up with Capella gone, or Monta Junis was going to come back, and I was just like, you know what, let me just wait on this Harrell thing. I just totally missed it, and it sucks when that happens.
Don't worry about it, Greg.
I actually picked up both Greg and then cut Nene after.
Gotcha.
I've always actually been a big Nene fan.
Right.
Just over the years, he's got a lot of injuries and he just can't play too long. So Harrell had the opportunity and came out there.
Yep.
But anytime, right now, I think I'm in second place in my basketball league.
Nice.
And I have the whole Rockets starting lineup except for James Harden.
That's hysterical.
And I trot them out there each and every night. It's the funniest thing ever. So I have Gordon at the two guard.
Right.
And I have Trevor Ariza at small forward. I have Ryan Anderson who's underperformed at power forward. And now I have Harrell at center.
Yeah, Anderson's the guy I have on all my teams. And that's the one Rocket I have everywhere. Yeah.
I already you're discussing an interesting topic this morning on the news desk about when Dellavedova, you know, comes back, about how maybe he's headed to the bench.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon's been really good.
Brogdon's been a nice pickup, yeah.
Well, he was someone that was good in college, I thought. And
Well,
the question was, would his game translate to the NBA? And it seemingly has for Jason Kidd here. That's him.
Yeah, he's going to be a guy going forward that's going to stick in that lineup. Dellavedova will come back to the bench. He'll still get probably close to similar minutes because he'll be back up both the shooting guard and the point guard. But he'll be a guy heading to the bench. And he actually has played well. And it's one of those situations where, you know what, you just have to look at it. The other guy's just way more talented.
And then that's all it comes down to. He's simply just a more talented player at this point. Hey, I also, you guys were watching basketball last night. I got to ask you, Corey, you check out the Rose Bowl last night?
I was traveling, but I was keeping up with the game on social media. I heard it was like the best thing since, you know,
anything
since football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was this remarkable football game. The Rose Bowl was the granddaddy of them all, and it really went down. So I didn't get to see it. I was traveling back, dropping the kids off. What exactly? I know the score was outrageous.
Yeah.
What exactly, like, really? I know the score was outrageous. I know it was a field goal to win the game.
Yeah, shout out
to USC. I know it's some controversy with Penn State. Maybe they should have been one of the teams that played in the college football playoff because
Ohio State didn't do so well.
Because Ohio State was pitiful.
Yeah.
So how? Tell me about this great Rose Bowl.
So basically, and I'll pick it up. Tony, feel free to interject whatever, of course. But USC gets up early, and they're up like 13 points for like a lot of the game. And Penn State just keeps coming back in the third quarter. Like, there was one point where Penn State scored touchdowns on like four straight offensive plays. Forget possessions. Four straight offensive plays Penn State scored touchdowns on. It was one of the more absurd things I've ever seen. And then late in the fourth quarter, USC gets down to 14. Come back, score two touchdowns. The USC quarterback, who probably should be the first overall pick in this year's draft, but he's only a freshman. He goes 10 for 10 in the fourth quarter, an absurd performance of like 450 yards and five touchdowns on the day. And then the Penn State quarterback throws an interception, which a guy returns like 40 yards. And the USC kicker, we always kill college kickers, the USC kicker kicks a 46-yarder to win it, and it wasn't close. I mean, he had it easily. So it was a really, really fun back and forth affair. You had Penn State, who many believe should have been in it with all their skill position players, and they've dominated the fourth quarter. You had USC trying to come back, and they got beaten down week one against Alabama in Texas. No one ever thought they'd be here in the Rose Bowl. Really offensive, really fun. Tony, there is no way the national championship game on Monday lives up to that.
No, there's no way. I got to ask you a question. And yeah. This is a weird thing.
Yeah, boy.
I'm watching this game, and this Mick Sully, the quarterback from Penn State,
yeah,
doesn't he look really small? But I look, so I immediately go and I look him up, and he's listed at 6'1". There's no way.
No. He's not 6'1". Right? There's no way.
There's no way. He looked like Doug Flutie back in the day.
Yes.
I was like,
yes.
What the heck's
yes.
going on? This was a fun, entertaining game to watch. I think when the Pac-10's involved, it seems like these are the type of environments you get, that there's not a lot of defense. And it was very enjoyable. And I'll tell you what, and this is, we generally, on our station, we talk about it a little more freely. If I'm a gambling person, I could never bet on the under in college football.
Right.
The clock stops so many times.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, you'd have an excruciating heart attack by the time this game ended.
No, it's so true. This particular game, it was... It was crazy. The answer is just bet on the over, and you'd be happy, right? Like, bet on the over.
Penn State, it's so funny. I thought if Penn State just ran the ball every play,
right,
they couldn't stop them. I just don't understand why we had Barkley have 24 carries and 194 yards, two touchdowns, including a 79-yard run. I mean, this was crazy. Then they have a receiver for 187 yards and a touchdown. This was an amazing thing. And USC, of course... This is a whole thing, right? If you're this quarterback, USC, right, and you could be the number one pick in the draft, that's what's wrong. You got to get out of there. You got to get out of college. Everybody in America has a right to work. What happened to Donald fixing this?
So that's honestly why I wanted to bring this up, because this kid, right, this quarterback here, at USC last night, just has this absurd game. Just an absolutely absurd game. It cannot be better. Like I said, let me find the exact score. Find the exact box score. But he put up legitimately 450 yards in this game.
Yeah, 453.
453, okay. 453 with five touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
this kid, in a year where there's no guaranteed quarterback that's going to be number one, like, I don't know about Deshaun Watson and this Mitch Trubisky dude in UNC, right? Sam Darnold would be the number one overall pick, and he can't come out.
Yeah, that's wrong. And I say this in a glowing way. This kid's a cocky bastard. Like, he truly belongs. For a freshman, he was out there running things, and it was amazing. It was an amazing thing to watch.
This kid, he throws the game-winning, tying touchdown, his 10th straight completion, and he doesn't even go crazy. He fist pumps. He doesn't Andrew like the original Andrew Luck before he turned into a GIF on Sunday. He runs down, he gives a fist pump, and like no emotion. And this guy's just sitting there, all smug as a freaking whatever. He's just sitting there smugly. I'm like, wow, this guy's good, and he knows he's good.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He absolutely does. And this was a tough game. Like you said, now they got to go to the championship game. I watched the games, the Final Four, and they didn't live up to expectations. There was nothing like this one.
Well, I had no interest in really even watching the Rose Bowl. I only care about the playoffs, the only thing that mattered. And I have a lot of friends that went to Penn State, and I just root against Penn State for that reason. Because, you don't want your friends to be happy. It's not, especially when it comes to Penn State. Because,
I'm not comfortable rooting for Penn State.
Right.
There were a lot of people killing Penn State on social media last night. It was just overwhelming.
You know who also got killed over social media last night? It was after this Penn State USC game in the Sugar Bowl. Oklahoma wins, and Brent Musburger got destroyed on Twitter last night.
I was reading that this morning. What's up with Brent Musburger? Like, more or less rooting for Joe Mixon. For Joe Mixon,
He got,
what's up with that?
Yeah, you know, make you most of your second chances. We wish you a long and prosperous NFL career. Like, bro.
Relax. Why is he?
Bro.
He's always been a controversial dude.
Musburger? Yeah.
Yeah, he's always been a controversial dude, and he's always said things a little bit out of the way. But
we met this kid. He's like, you're not a bad kid. I'm just like, oh God.
Yeah,
I saw
right.
So Clay Travis.
Clay
Travis, I don't even really like. He had a really good tweet last night. I guess they reviewed something late in the game that Joe Mixon did, like a first down or a fumble or something like that. Like, oh, I'm glad we could review this tape, not the other tape.
Yet another tape is a problem.
Yeah.
That other one, you don't want that one out there.
I just don't know how an NFL team is going to take this kid. I don't know how an NFL team is going to be able to take this
kid. The talent is
I
real.
Know.
Yeah, if the talent's there, you know, they'll see if, like, you know, you they can give that. Some sort of second chance.
But what about Greg Hardy and Ray Rice? Shot. There's talent on those guys.
Ray Rice, it was kind of like fuzzy whether he was towards the end of his career or not.
Right. But Greg Hardy, he wasn't.
Greg Hardy's a straight madman.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Ray Rice, you felt like he had peaked already.
That's true. I guess the other way to look at it is like Tyreek Hill, right? Like Tyreek Hill was given a second chance.
There's
no video of Tyreek Hill either, though.
No, there's no, not that we know of. There's no video.
Still, though, you know, once it's out there, though.
But it's different.
The video makes it worse.
The video makes it worse.
The video does make it worse.
Or letter makes it worse when it comes to Josh Brown, right? Like that made everything worse.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. To dispute that's crazy because Ray Rice would have been suspended for a couple games and that'd been it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
He would be back in the NFL.
Yeah,
so true. You got to also give credit, like I said before, this USC kicker. Like I know he missed the 50-yarder, the 49-yarder. Nailing a 46-yarder in college to win. Like college kickers never hit kicks.
Not big
ever.
Kicks like that.
A monster kick, and they have this interception, Corey. Right? There's 27 seconds left, or 20 seconds left. What are they going to do? Like they're going to throw the ball? Where they're going to throw it? They just ran the ball up the middle for another like 7 yards, let's say. And they were okay with his 46-yard field goal. Like, what?
And he nailed right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
There were a couple times. Like, they have great confidence in that kicker. Because they tried that 51-yard.
Yes.
And I was like, why are they doing this? They're going to give the ball right, at the 41.
Right.
And they had confidence in the kicker, and he finally paid off.
But they did, because you know what? On that 51-yarder and the 49-yarder they missed, the distance was there. That wasn't the problem. Yeah. It was just getting straight. And it wasn't that far off both kicks, right? Both kind of went a little wide. He's got a leg. This kid will make it.
It's so hard to figure out which kickers make it because there's so many times that all of a sudden these guys get shots and they don't kick. The guy in Tampa this year made sure no one will ever be drafted early again by a kicker.
Yeah, they already said he's going to have competition next year.
Yeah, do you believe that? I don't believe that. There's no way they're going to have second round competition next year. That's all coach speak.
Motivational public talk.
Exactly.
And then he finished up strong, too. Down the stretch, he was very
much better.
Well, he was better.
I would say he was very good. Great tweet just now from Dan Duggan. NJ.com, Giants beat reporter, he says, Eli Manning turns 36 today. No word if he'll be celebrating with Justin Bieber later.
Oh, man.
We'll talk about that
on
the other side of this. Roto Experts in the Morning returns here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll get to the Justin Bieber stuff in just a moment. A little breaking news for you this morning.
What do we got?
This comes from Perry Schabel. She works for News 12 in Cincinnati.
Oh.
Marvin Lewis still has a job, don't worry.
Oh.
But we have just learned that Adam Jones has been arrested again.
It's the first time in a long time.
Yeah, he's been out of trouble for a while.
He's being held in the Hamilton County Jail, charged with assault and disorderly contact. Adam Jones in jail. He'll be arraigned on several charges at 9 a.m., he is charged with assault, disorderly conduct, obstruction of justice, harassment with bodily substance. Taken into custody at 12:30 last night. He was arrested on 8th Street, allegedly yelling, banging on a glass door, cursing at a security guard. He allegedly pushed the security guard, poked him in the eye. Police said he pulled away from the officer, kicked him, and tried to leave the scene.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
It could be worse, really.
Yep.
We'll give you more updates on that in a few moments.
I wonder why he was trying to get underneath onto the other side of that door. I wonder what was over there that he wanted to see.
Do you think it's a woman?
It probably was a woman.
All right. So, could be worse.
Sound like alcoholism was involved in that situation right there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see more in a moment. Speaking of arrests, I was just reading over at RotoWorld, actually, that World Baseball Classics this year. I know you guys are super into that, right? So, the World Baseball Classics is here. And for, like, the Korean team, I guess? Yeah, South Korea. So Jun Ho Gong, he plays for the Pirates, right?
Yep.
He's a shortstop, third baseman, second baseman. He had his third DUI in like the last year. And
this is big.
Yeah, this is a pretty big story. So they pulled, they're almost going to pull him. It's like this clearly guy isn't worth the trouble because he has his third DUI here.
Yeah.
So they're going to put Sungwon Oh on the team, who was like the Cardinals closer to end the year. And the reason he wasn't on the team previously was because he had overseas gambling issues. What is going on with these Koreans?
Hey, Greg, don't say that.
Playing baseball. we haven't seen anything from what's the guy from the Dodgers? Why is it escaping me now? The guy who's always hurt.
Hiroki Kuroda? No.
No, no, no.
Ken Zamita?
No.
Think about the other guy, Hyunjin Ryu.
Ryu.
Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, I don't think Ryu's been in trouble yet.
Is he Korean or he's Japanese? No,
he's Korean.
He's Korean?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't think Jay Wong So ever got any trouble either.
Just naming Korean baseball players.
Which one? I always get confused on the Koreas. Which one is building the ballistic missiles?
That would be North Korea.
North Korea, they're not our friends.
No, we don't like them. We don't like them.
We made a movie about them. The guy got all pissed off.
Yeah, then we pulled that movie real quick.
The Interview?
Is that what it's called? The Interview?
I think so.
Yeah.
The Seth Rogen movie?
Yeah. I think, what's his name was in it? His name's escaping me. He's in everything. It's like in Spider-Man, and he was on Freaks and Geeks. And
James Franco.
Yeah. It was him and Rogen.
Yeah, that was dangerous. Yeah.
Hey, I just got the alert on this Pac-Man Jones story.
Okay.
Felony harassment.
Is that bad?
Yeah, it's a felony.
Yeah, it's not good.
How is harassment a felony?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't gotten the arrest yet.
That's interesting. I would like to read the story, but I don't see how harassment can be a felony.
Maybe it's a type of harassment. You know?
He didn't hit nobody. Well, he did say assault.
Yes.
But still, that's a interesting laws in Colorado.
Yeah.
Felony harassment.
Colorado. Was this in Colorado? Wasn't it Cincinnati?
It was in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Last night in Colorado.
I didn't realize it was in Colorado. That's interesting. Oh.
The felony harassment. I don't know. Be interesting to see when that comes out.
Well, you'll get more in a moment. Is that you in this picture, Corey, with this news reporter breaking this down?
No, I wish it was, though. She's a nice looking. What's her name?
Her name is Perry Schable.
Hey, Perry.
We probably get her on the program. She only has like 3,700 Twitter followers. She'll come on with us if you'd like to talk to her.
Let's tweet at her.
We have a producer for that.
Yep.
Yeah, so I thought, interesting, Pac-Man Jones arrested, and then this whole DUI thing, and gambling who knew he was a gambler, Scotty?
I don't think anybody knew. We were thinking about it. Only thing I thought about this O guy is, you know, what his potential as a closer was.
Right, as a closer this year. Yeah. Trevor Rosenthal supposedly coming in as a starter in St. Louis, which means it would be O's job to lose, which is interesting. It's also crazy, not crazy, I guess, but January 3rd, there's so many big names still on the market in baseball. Right? Mark Trumbull's still out there, and Jose Bautista's still out there. A lot of big names still out there, Scott.
Yeah, a lot of names being bounced around. It's like, yeah, Bautista's like continuing to float out there. It's like Encarnacion got signed. You figured Bautista was going to be the next one to fall, but as spring training gets closer, these dominoes are all going to fall.
Even Mike Napoli still hasn't officially signed with Texas.
Rumors about Braun. If you listen to Rusty's Fantasy on demand on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, myself and former Diamondback Rusty Ryle, you know, we talk about, you know, with Braun and, you know, the Brewers rebuilding. And, you know, what can they get from him? Where would he go? What's the perception of him right now?
Yes, there you go. There you have it. You know, and we have no idea. But the problem is nobody cares about, for whatever reason, Tony, nobody cares about these power guys right now. Nobody wants them.
Yeah, the Bautista thing, 36 years of age, I think is definitely coming to effect here. So the Rays were the team that I don't really believe were talking to him. I believe that's an agent planted story to try to get some interest there. He turned down $17 million already in the qualifying offer from the Toronto Blue Jays, so he's going back there now. I think he gets the $17 million, but if he goes back, they have to surrender a draft pick, and that's coming into play.
If he goes back to Toronto, they have to sit.
Yeah, because of the whole qualifying offer situation, they're going to have to surrender a draft pick unless he signs in June.
Oh, I thought they changed that rule. Oh, wow, that's crazy.
That's
terrible.
So that's holding up situation.
Right.
You know what's so crazy?
Right.
We've all seen draft picks fail. Like these teams that worry about the draft picks, it's shocking to me and surprising to me that they worry about it, because for most instances in Major League Baseball, they fail more often than they come through for Flames.
Yeah, Lavelle Neal, my buddy from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, reported that the Twins want possible trade partners to step up with their best offers in the upcoming days. Dozier is still a name floating out there in the trade market.
Yeah, we've heard that. It seems like nobody's interested. Not nobody, but like for whatever reason, the power is just not something people are going after anymore. These guys, these aging sluggers are not setting the market like they used to, and it's very interesting.
Dozier doesn't fit that profile. It's I guess it's about putting the right offer together.
Yeah. Chris
Carter is another guy that's out there, like 42 home runs, right?
Right. No interest. Led the league.
Yeah. Brian Dozier is an interesting because the Twins want too much is the problem there.
Yeah.
There's a guy, he's got 2 years locked up on his contract at $15 million, which is great when you think it's $7.5 million a year, right? So they want to get a couple of prospects, and they've been offered Jose De Leon, who's a pitching prospect for the Dodgers, but they want more. They want another prospect. And so they've gone and they've shopped him around again. But there's a good opportunity that he'll end up being back in Minnesota. And then you still have the White Sox and the Yankees talking about Clint Tanner and David Robinson coming to town for the New York Yankees.
I saw that the White Sox were just asking for, like, the entire Yankees farm system to, like, Quintana. I'm like, Quintana's a good quality pitcher, but some of the stuff that they were asking for, they were, like, three of the Yankees' top prospects. I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just not where the Yankees are, right? It's just not where the Yankees are in their development right now, trying to build this farm system. And you're hearing about them considering getting rid of Brett Gardner, and it just doesn't seem like
you've
a fit right now.
Been hearing that for like 3 years.
Oh yeah,
now.
Every year it's a yearly tradition. It's absolutely a yearly tradition with the Yankees. So we'll see. There's the hot stove's kind of been quiet with Christmas season here, and we'll see.
Well, the thing is like you already got NFBC drafts coming on. You want to gain some clarity here.
We don't have
as you go to the draft table, especially if you're doing an early draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, at this point, we just don't have any.
Unfortunately, though, I think if you draft now and some of these questions are out there and you have a general knowledge of baseball, I think it gives you an advantage.
Yeah, it's a buying opportunity.
Everybody has a home.
That's the thing that Corey always talks about with, like, early football drafts, too. It's like it can also create value. There's like it's two-pronged.
But I think it's a little bit different than football because we're talking about early football drafts. You're doing it in June and July, right? That's an early football draft.
I'll start in February.
But like
the majority.
Okay,
yeah,
so the February one disproves my argument a little bit. But like, because I was going to say in June and July, when we talk early drafts, I thought we were talking June and July, which is a little bit different.
That's
because free agency is already done. Here in baseball, like, it's very hard, in my opinion, to do the draft now because God knows where Mark Trumbull ends up, right? Like, he could really affect somebody right now. But Jose Bautista as well.
But if he ends up in a premium spot, you take a chance and he ends up in a premium spot, you're going to get him at a value, which is going to really could really help down the stretch. So it's two sides to the draft and early coin and Riverboat Gambler. You can go for it.
I came in ninth a couple years ago in the NFBC, and I drafted in January. So at the same time frame. So I think I got an advantage, though, because guys like Mark Trumbull, right, a perfect example.
Yep.
Say I take a shot in the 10th round. People won't choose him because they don't know where he ends up in any signs with Colorado, which is one of the teams that I've been talked to. Well, he would have went in the 6th or 7th round.
Definitely.
So you're going to get a bargain. Even Jose Bautista, who you think would go in like the 3rd or 4th round in most drafts, people won't pick him because he plays in a great offensive ballpark in Toronto. And like, just use the Rays, for instance. That's a great pitcher's ballpark. So people are going to be a little hesitant on spending a 3rd round pick on Jose Bautista.
Yeah, and you can speculate and get the value.
That's good. It's a really good point, guys. It's a really good point. I hadn't considered that.
Right now, quickly on Pac-Man.
Yeah,
his guy was drinking last night. He wilded out. Mm-hmm. So apparently, he got into an altercation with a male.
Yes.
Right? So that's where the assault comes from. But then, I guess when the police showed up on the scene, he realized this was going to be a big talk this morning. So he didn't want to go with the police. So he kind of refused to enter the police car. Where the felony comes from, he spit on a nurse in the jail.
That's not very nice. You don't spit on nurses.
That would obviously be a felony right there.
Yeah, that's good.
Where the felony comes in at. The rest are misdemeanor charges. So Pac-Man.
He thought she looked like Antonio Brown.
but my guess is, I guess whoever this dude he was going after last night probably owed him some money.
You think so?
Yeah. Why else would you act like this towards another male?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, a woman over a woman. That's why.
Oh, that's true, too. But Pac-Man Jones probably get plenty of women.
You know, people are crazy.
Yeah, no, that's true. I just,
Just making sure he didn't do nothing too crazy. He needed to slow down his drinking in the offseason.
So you think Pac-Man will be okay?
Yeah, he'll be fine.
All right. Speaking of drinking, Odell Beckham, the New York Giants.
We got to get into this.
We'll do it on the other side of the break. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So the first time in your career, you go to the playoffs. Had a hell of a year, 100 catches, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns. So you're bringing your boys to go celebrate going to the playoffs. And where better to celebrate than Miami?
With Playboy's Paradise.
With Justin Bieber. With Trey Songz. With Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel was there?
Of course he was there.
No, you're kidding me.
No.
Johnny Manziel was there,
it's
too?
It's a party.
Yes. That's a horrible omen.
Yes. So what I'm referring to, of course, is Odell Beckham bringing the Giants, Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, and Roger Lewis all down to Miami immediately following the game in Washington on Sunday, partying up with the gentleman I just mentioned on Sunday night, hanging out Monday morning, obviously, on the boat.
Taking that weird-ass picture on the boat.
Wearing, like, winter hats.
What the hell is wrong with the Giants?
I don't know, man. And then coming back for this morning's meetings, of course. So, Corey, I know you have some strong opinions on this.
Hey, listen, this right here, if it don't work out and you end up getting bounced in the first round, everybody's going to say you should have had your ass in New Jersey and not in Miami taking topless pictures on a damn boat with Justin Bieber. This season is not over. The regular season is over. You're going to the playoffs. Act like it. This right here is not a good look.
Gary Myers of the New York Daily News wrote a scathing column this morning. Basically saying it's Eli's birthday, which you alluded to, but he's not as immature as his wide receivers.
Okay, well, he's also like 13 years older than Odell Beckham.
True.
That's a big deal here. But like,
how long has Eli been in the NFL though?
12 years.
12 years. Do we ever hear like?
It's a different guy.
Anything?
He's a different guy.
Different guy. So
it's a different guy.
It's a quarterback. Yeah.
It's a Manning. Forget just a quarterback. It's a Manning. He's not like Peyton.
He's a
where
different
he's,
type of guy, whatever his position is.
Doing things
is.
In college. So that's not Eli, obviously.
Quarterback normally wouldn't do nothing like this.
Well, there's
Johnny
multiple
Manziel.
Things. So there's
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel.
Quarterback. Tony Romo.
So that's an interesting
one.
Yeah,
he mentioned Romo in 2007 with Jessica Simpson, but he said this was worse. He said, at least Romo
he
did
was
it during
knocking
his
her
bye
down.
Week.
Yeah.
Right. He said, at least he did it during his bye week.
Yeah, he was having sex with her. That was his piece. So, yeah, I'm going to slide with her. These dudes is partying.
I'm pretty sure, though, that they probably got to that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but they probably didn't have nobody. It wasn't, you know, they didn't go out there with a woman. It was Romo, Simpson.
What about after the Cowboys clinched and Dak and Zeke went out a couple weeks ago? This was the whole thing. Remember they went?
They were out in Dallas. They where they live at. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, can you blame Odell for not going out in Jersey?
But they went to Miami.
I know.
What happens if they would have went to New York City and would have partied the night away?
So I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal that they're already in New York City. It's not a story. They're not partying in New York City.
They party in New York all the time.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem I have with this whole thing. We are dealing with the NBA now, right? And we talk about all the travel, the back to back games. These guys decided during a playoff week to take an extra plane trip.
They did.
So relax now on these night to night games and these guys being off. These guys got in a plane, went to Miami, partied hard. And I don't care how young. It's going to take them a day or two to recover, right?
Probably not. They
like
probably can get right back to it, though.
So?
My recoil didn't get bad until the past 2 or 3 years.
So you're good.
That's 24 hours of partying.
Yeah, now I need like 2 or 3 days of rest.
Sure.
Where these kids probably need 2 or 3 hours.
It's interesting. I agree. This doesn't become a story if it's in New York. It's a story because they didn't even hide it, right? They took that ridiculous picture. What? It was like a model picture. I thought it was photoshopped.
Why? This is the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. And if I'm Victor Cruz, an adult
what are you doing
Victor Cruz.
Yeah,
Victor
yeah.
Cruz,
right.
Take your ass home.
Right. You're an old man.
Yeah, stop trying to be the old guy hanging out with the young fellas. Come on, Victor Cruz. Cut it out.
You know what he reminds me of Juwan Howard with the Heat?
Yeah, like if I'm Victor Cruz, I take the picture. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I take this picture. I'm not getting on that damn boat with y'all. And then I'm going to leave early, too. They got to do a better job than this. Come on. Come on, Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to do a better job than this.
It's not a good look. And it's also causing a distraction, right? Like,
it's a distraction, obviously.
and they got on damn Tim's in Miami with no shirt and boots.
That's what got like, winter hats on, right?
Yeah, and Victor Cruz had the damn winter hat on.
Yeah.
Like, if someone tells me Johnny Manziel's going to be somewhere, I'm not going.
Yeah, it's a good chance you probably should stay away.
It's probably a bad idea.
It's a good chance you should probably stay away.
What do you guys... I know it's going to be everywhere, right? Like, you know that they're going to be cameras.
And Bieber! Bieber's there!
What if Odell Beckham Jr. goes out and there's a big game this weekend? Now it's like all going to go
then
away.
The story doesn't matter.
Yeah,
losing and winning cures everything.
Yeah, if they win in Green Bay, no one will care about this. It means nothing.
But it's funny this weekend. But like you said, it creates a distraction
unnecessary.
Because when the media comes in,
Aaron Rodgers going to Mexico with Olivia Munn just like Tony Romo did, and that's not going to get reported now because of this.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know. This takes over the week. This becomes the story. And knowing Odell, somebody's gonna ask him about it, and he gonna cop an attitude, and he gonna act like he gonna act crazy, and then and he's gonna have an attitude about it. He gonna get all in his feelings. So they probably shouldn't have did this. And if they did do it,
they should have kept it under wraps.
Damn picture, yeah, keep it under wraps. Why you have to show off that you in Miami?
They did not even try to
keep
it under wraps.
This is ridiculous.
And what, you know what the crazy thing was? It wasn't like leaked by some girl. It was a photo that was released, Snapchat, Trey Songz.
Whose Instagram was it on?
That I don't know.
Oh, how it came out? Trey Songz Snapchat?
Trey Songz was Snapchatting away all night. And there's one where you hear on the boat, some girl says, you want some Adderall? Seriously, this is true.
She was talking to Odell.
No. So the Trey Songz was snapping. And he has this phone.
Who's Trey Songz? I'm sorry.
He's a rapper.
Mr. Steal Your Girl. He's a singer.
Okay. He's a singer, rapper. He sings a very good version of Life on Mars, by the way, from Vinyl. It's very good. I listened to it multiple times.
Trey Songz is a beast.
He's good. I like Trey Songz. So anyway, he's snapping, and Odell's just like laying out on the boat, right? Just chilling. In the background, and Trey Songz like saying something on the snapping. And in the background, you hear some girl go, you want some Adderall?
Yeah.
And a voice, which is clearly Sterling Shepard, because you know Victor Cruz's voice, and it doesn't sound like Roger Lewis. I don't know what Roger Lewis sounds like. But it sounds like Sterling Shepard, right?
Greg, you shouldn't have said that.
Well, let me get that.
You don't know that.
Let me get that.
Okay.
So Sterling Shepard goes, no, I'm a football player. I can't do Adderall.
Oh, okay.
That's the exact quote he says in the video. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yo, you know what? Not to change the subject right quick. I was at a...
Is this about Adderall?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was at you know how they have the big draft weekends in New York and Las Vegas and stuff
like that? Yeah, yeah,
a lot of the guys that are drafted, before the draft.
Yeah, I gotta be focused. A lot of money on the line, right? They're putting a lot of money in there.
Performance enhancing fantasy players.
Can you look at that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
Should the FSTA outlaw this?
I gotta be honest with you. It makes sense. It keeps
your razor sharp focus.
Focused, right. So yeah. I guarantee you, like, poker players do this. Otherwise, you get bored.
Yeah, I
agree. Same with the draft, right? Like, you're in these drafts, and there's hours and hours, especially baseball. Like, the FSTA, a couple weeks, hours and hours and hours. Of baseball.
Well, if you're in the draft, I think, you know, you can focus, or at least
I think FSTA should look into it.
I don't agree. I think Adderall is there to make keep people focused for this.
Yeah.
Fantasy and in real life.
I guess, you know, I got to look outside myself because I can't imagine a situation where I would need something. Well, that's you.
You don't even have, but you don't drink. You don't even drink.
And you don't win chips either, so.
I can't imagine, like, all the prep that you do and everything.
But it doesn't screw you up. It helps your prep.
You're supposed to, you know, get some rest the night before. If you do all the studying up, but, you know. Everybody's different, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Like if you have a fantasy baseball draft tomorrow, you go to Miami, you party with Bieber, come back, take some Adderall, you're good.
Yeah,
they saw. We should start selling people at the draft.
No, we should start selling it. Forget pissing.
I'm not. No.
I would.
Okay.
People don't realize. It's kind of crazy, Corey. You've been around this.
Yeah.
Those guys. When you go to those weekends, you do like 3-4 drafts in a day. It drives you crazy.
Right.
It's tough. Yeah.
It's probably exhausting.
I mean, the auction we do is 5 hours long.
Yeah, we should start pissing people at the draft.
I did like an 8-9 hour auction. It's like, you know, you got to be ready for it.
This is what I'm saying. You can take Adderall to help you.
I'm not even making a joke though.
Yeah,
I'm being totally serious. It's a focused drug, and then when you drink on it, which is why they, you know, like, it makes you all crazy.
Well,
let me ask you this though.
Yes, sir.
In fantasy, just throwing it out here, would it be a performance enhancer? Does it give you advantage over your normal opponent who's not taking this?
Yes.
Then you could be razor sharp focused and he can't be.
Well, of course it does. That's what Adderall is. Sure.
You want to try it?
I'm gonna get Adderall for March.
You should get Adderall for March, Tony, and see if it helps you in the draft. Yeah.
I'm gonna try.
See if you can get two.
Corey needs
excuse my ignorance.
Corey also
here,
needs to stay focused.
Excuse my ignorance here, though. But would you need a prescription to get it?
There's a way.
Come on.
I mean, I'm talking legally here.
No, I'm not commenting on that.
No, I mean, by the book, you're supposed to get
it is not an over-the-counter drug. Yes, right. you need a prescription for Adderall. You do need a prescription for. It's also, Scotty, just to explain, it's a very popular college drug.
Right.
You can cram.
So you cram for like test the next day, and you need to write a paper by tomorrow morning. A lot of college students take Adderall the night before to cram.
Right.
And that's where it's very popular. And from my understanding, when you drink, you also take the Adderall, and it's like a weird mixture. Is that fair to say, Corey?
I don't know. I've never popped one.
So
okay.
Yeah. So if I take Adderall for the first time, I probably shouldn't drink though.
Yeah, you probably should lay light that night. We'll bring two.
We'll stay focused together.
You know what I want to do, though? I just thought about it. It's like,
you want to pop Adderall?
I want to like pop an Adderall and play Madden and see what happens.
Oh boy.
But you should do that, right? Like you do that, and I bet you will find yourself extremely focused into the game.
Yeah, but that seems like a waste. That would be like that'd be like taking Viagra to masturbate.
I don't think it's a waste.
Feel real girthy in my hand.
I don't think it's real waste if like I'm playing like a really like a prime opponent. You
but
know?
You ain't getting no money, but Scott.
Serious question. In esports, do you think Adderall is banned? Going to Scott's question.
I wonder about that. And they have these national question. Madden competitions,
right,
too.
Sure.
I wonder.
And it's not just Madden, obviously.
Yeah,
there's many
people
other
do
games.
Play Madden for money.
Sure. There's many other games besides Madden, too. But I wonder if Adderall is banned from those competitions. Seriously.
We need to get somebody on and discuss this.
It shouldn't be banned from fantasy.
Unless you need it, right? As you have a prescription. You can give it to Rick Wolf, the prescription.
Shouldn't it be banned from fantasy?
Yeah. Probably just esports.
Why? Period.
Why though? Esports?
Yeah,
because it's giving you an advantage.
Well, it's giving you an advantage in fantasy too.
Not necessarily.
Why?
What if everyone just if it's better? See, this is the whole thing I don't get. Like with the whole steroid things and everything. If Adderall is going to make you a better player, why doesn't everybody just get?
I guess the same thing with steroids, right? Same thing with steroids in sports.
Yeah.
If
it's going to help you rebuild from injury, steroid. Why don't we just give it to everybody?
So interestingly enough, our producer here, Chris Bavona.
Has one?
He has worked on worked in esports shows.
Yeah,
because he produced esports shows, so he has some more information on this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were bringing me. I didn't know you were bringing me up. I thought you were just going to read what I'd said to you.
No, you can say it.
I think you need to take some Adderall and focus.
At 4:30 in the morning, yeah, I could definitely use a little bit of Adderall.
Anyways, what were you saying about esports stuff?
So this has always been a topic of issue on all the shows that I've worked on, and all of them have straight out said. Adderall should be straight out banned from all esports.
Wow.
The only problem is that they don't have any unions. They don't really have the leeway to ban drugs
happen.
Like this.
Make it happen. Because esports, I'm telling you, Adderall is the perfect drug for esports.
I just got a text.
Okay.
A woman's husband actually took Adderall to help pass a contractor's exam. Like, this is a big thing.
It's a massive exam. It's a massive
That's
thing.
That's not something competitive, though. When you talk about something esports, well, maybe it is competitive.
Esports
in the
is
sense.
Extremely competitive.
No, I'm talking about, like, the contractors. Although it's like you're getting the job over somebody else, so maybe it is competitive.
But that's what you do. It's like college.
Well, that's I'm going to do something to one-up you.
Yeah, so, like... In college, I guess you could see it more because, like, you're just trying to achieve a grade, whereas, like, you know, maybe with a contractor exam or, like, a post office exam, only a certain amount of people actually get picked. But with the esports...
How did Cha-Cha get a job?
It was less than...
Had to be Adderall.
It wasn't as strict back then.
A lot of drugs other than Adderall. But, you know, going back to the esports point, though, it's... You know, you got to be razor sharp focused in that. Yeah. Like, imagine if you're playing DraftKings esports and like you're picking certain guys, and then you find out they do Adderall.
That'd be great. Yeah. I'd want them on my team.
Yeah, you want the guys.
I want the guys to do Adderall. I'm trying to get the guys that smoke that are just like super high in these things, not on my team. I want the guys on Adderall, not high on weed.
So should we? Well, should we bring this up to the FSTA though?
I think it's something you can consider. Sure.
101 with Rick Wolf.
That's right.
Adderall, what I'm saying is,
get Rick Wolf on like a Hall of Fame hour, Scott.
I don't think we've already had Rick Wolf on the Hall of Fame hour.
All right.
Yeah.
We have to investigate Adderall in fantasy sports.
Yeah, I think it's a thing.
But if it is a thing,
what do we do about it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We find out who's using it. And we bet on them. That's what we do.
That's interesting. That's intriguing.
That's what we do.
Don't even try these sports on DraftKings.
No. There was a little bit of, we had it a couple months ago. We had some things not on the up and up in esports, actually.
Really?
Yeah, had some cheating going
well,
on.
When these new things explode, you know, you got to govern them. We've seen it in our industry.
I'm down to try it.
Well, we know that. You're not trying anything.
Not anything.
Really?
Not anything.
What wouldn't you try?
I don't do no hardcore drugs.
Right.
I don't do anything that involves a needle.
So if I said, oh, yeah, I'm definitely
right,
not.
So if I had heroin here, you'd be like, no.
I almost cussed just now. Yeah. No.
So no heroin for you.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing nothing like that. You know what I'm saying?
What's crystal meth? You using meth?
No, I'm not. I don't do that. None of that. Suburban.
Hey, let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk more about Odell and Victor Cruz and Shepard and whatnot. And we'll talk more some more NFL stuff coming up throughout the show. We got some games as well. Stick around. Red Rush in the morning comes back after this. We're back here talking off the air about Odell Beckham, and Scott, you're calling it a maturity issue. Simply that 23 years old or so.
That's what a guy like that age is going to do. You know, like go to Miami because he's got the money, take pictures of it, you know, hang out with his people and stuff like that. You know, right. You're probably not going to see him do it when he's 32.
Probably not. Yeah. Phil Jackson probably called it a posse, Corey.
Well, these are his teammates, but yeah. Phil Jackson would say that this was a posse.
Like Corey said, though, Victor Cruz, like, what are you doing there?
Victor Cruz should know better than this.
Yeah.
Victor Cruz should know better than this.
You know, Victor Cruz should be setting an example, but it's just like, I can't help but think of, like, Victor Cruz, like, plays that kind of role on Ballers, too. Like, he embraces that kind of role.
Well, he's getting paid to be an actor.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, when you go on a show like Ballers, though, you know, it's kind of like supposed to replicate what the pro life is.
Sure.
He plays a party on Ballers and doesn't seem to bother him. And he does it again in his real life.
Well,
he's being who he is.
That's a TV show. He's acting.
But what I'm saying is, though, is...
So it doesn't bother him to get paid to act.
It doesn't bother him, like, you know, to play that sort of role, whether it's fake or it's real.
But, like, if you were getting paid to act in a movie where you were drinking... Right, you don't drink, right? You're drinking and doing drugs. It's not real, it's a movie. Did it bother you?
I think there's like a line there, at least for me.
Really?
Like, you know, when you're on a show like that and you portray yourself in a certain way, it's supposed to represent what the pro life is like.
Right.
So I think there's kind of a little blurred line
there.
That's
so interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just different than you in that way, where I'm like, whatever, you pay me to act in a movie. I think
you know, agents and players and the league are very sensitive to a show like that and what it's supposed to represent.
Well, The Rock said, "I don't really give a shit what you think," and they did it anyway. And they call him the Dolphins. They don't even lie. They call him by their name.
The Rock don't give a shit. He's a wrestler. You know, it's like,
well, he's an actor.
He's a wrestler. He's an actor. He's not a professional player. It's like, no, well, you know, I think
he was a collegiate player.
I think some athletes come on there, and if they want to represent themselves in a certain way, I think that they're also thinking about representing the league in a certain way.
Oh, I think you are thinking way too much into that.
Oh my God, you're crazy! No one, the league don't care about them.
Exactly.
You think Terrell Suggs comes in there and thinks he needs to consider
that? Not the league. I didn't mean it like that. I think their own reputation as players.
It's not like you're going to represent the Shield because the Shield can care less about you.
Yeah.
The thing as far as the Ballers go, hey, listen, he's getting paid to do that. I do feel as if Victor Cruz should have probably stayed home. And if he didn't stay home, if he did go, take the picture. Victor Cruz should know better than this. As far as the young boys go,
Victor Cruz is an older player who's supposed to be setting an example for a guy like Odell Beckham Jr.
But again, Odell Beckham, he didn't do anything wrong. Like, I do want to make that clear.
By the letter, I said that, you know, during the break.
You said it off the
By
air.
The letter. Yeah. He said, you didn't do anything wrong. Spagnuolo says, you guys got the time off.
Right.
You can go do what you want.
Right.
But, like, to Corey's point, like, you know, why go and broadcast this? You know, it's like you're on MTV or something.
You know, I also think this is probably less of a story if it's during the bye week, right? Like, you have a week off, like, whatever. You go chill in Miami for a day or two. No big
That's
deal.
No problem.
No big deal.
They're going to Lambeau Field on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. When they lose, this is going to be a issue. They're going to bring up this trip when they lose.
That's true.
Especially if Odell has a bad game.
Well, if Odell has a bad game, they are going to lose. Can't nobody else score. It's not going to be Victor Cruz.
Correct. Yeah. it's true, but I don't think, like, will this get brought up? Probably yes. Should it be? Probably not. I think
you just don't need another distraction.
Yes, that's what it comes down to. It's just an unnecessary distraction. Are they going to lose because Odell party with Justin Bieber on Sunday night? No, probably not. Is it going to have any effect on the game? No, probably not.
But it's out there.
Is it out there? Is it unnecessary distraction? Is it stupid? Is it something else that McAdoo and Eli and Jerry Reese and Spags and Mike Sullivan have to comment on? Yeah, of course.
Answer questions about it.
Yeah, answer questions.
See, if I was Eli Manning, though, I could put a stop to this quick because I'm going to get an answer about it. And my answer would be, yeah, you know what? I don't think it was good for team. The only thing that bothers me is why wasn't I invited?
There you go. That's a good point. Hey, take a break here. Come back. Hour number two begins. More NFL headlines here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Craig Sussman, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Tony Cincata, all hanging out with you here on Tuesday. Wish it was Wednesday, but it's Tuesday. It's January 3rd. You heard it at the top of Scotty's news update just a moment or two ago that David Johnson will not be undergoing surgery. A little MCL sprain. We'll be good. Good to go. That is the best possible news we could have had on David Johnson, Scotty.
Yeah, the best possible news is, you know, it's the meniscus. It's not something involving the ACL there. So, yeah, he should be ready for training camp, according to all reports.
Yeah, he should be good to go. Normal offseason for the most part. That's a good thing. While he will not be having surgery, your boy will, Corey.
Who's that?
Sammy Watkins.
Again. Oh, man. How beat up is this guy?
They don't know what his recovery time is going to be.
How beat up is this guy?
He's 23 years old. He's got a feet issue already. Clearly.
It's not going to go anywhere either. From the looks of it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to be hard to get back in on Watkins. Like, when I saw this yesterday, I was like, this is perfect. You know what? And I've been on Watkins. He was my guy for 2016.
You said you're going back.
And I said I was going back. I think I got to leave this dude alone. I think this foot is a serious issue and will continue to be a serious issue. I can win without him.
I think at some point he's going to be in the draft next year, and Corey's not going to be able to resist.
There he is in the 17th round.
Yeah. Call my team closure this year. Team closure.
Yeah.
What do you
closure?
Where are you, Tone? Sammy Watkins, and he's not the first guy, right? That has a Jones fracture in his foot, has two surgeries because a lot of guys do need that second surgery. But he's having it here in early January. He's got 8 months to get healthy. Like, is it going to be a thing?
I actually have got the opposite point of view here. I actually think that he's getting surgery is actually a benefit and a good thing. Because imagine if he didn't get surgery and he
right,
dealt with this issue even longer. So he's got enough time to recover. You know it's been a constant issue. Julio Jones had similar issues when the first couple of years of his career. I don't know. I'm not in love with going and taking this kid. And we don't even know who the quarterback will be. We don't know who the offensive coordinator is. But to me, this is actually a good thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing either. I kind of agree with you. Like, maybe get it taken care of, maybe be done with it.
2 years from now.
2 years from now, you're going back.
Yeah. I get it, and it makes sense. I'm just to the point where we're not really ever getting the truth on this foot.
Didn't he have other injury issues, though, before the foot?
But it was like nagging type stuff. Nothing to where this right here, you know, can have you off the field for weeks at a time.
Seems like it's always something with this guy.
We're just reading something very interesting. Because I was reading about the Rose Bowl a little bit more. Sorry for changing the topic, but reading the Rose Bowl a little bit more. Sam Darnold, the quarterback, right? USC had this monster game, Tony. Like, this kid's going to be incredible. He's going to go to the first round in the future. He's the grandson of Dick Hammer, who also played at USC. He was the Marlboro man. He's the grandson of the Marlboro man.
How about that?
I got a little nervous when you said his name was Dick Hammer.
I know you did.
I know you guys did.
You guys are dirty minds.
Really? Yeah. Really? Where are we going with this? No, that's amazing.
He's
though.
the grandson of the Marlboro man.
Really? So they're out.
I didn't know the Marlboro man's name was Dick Hammer.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Marlboro man name was...
And then he doubled as a porn star.
The Marlboro man name is Richard Hammer.
That's surprising. Not surprising you. The Marlboro man died of cancer.
Yeah, sorry about that,
Marlboro man. I just thought that was interesting. So there you go. Marlboro man, Dick Hammer. His grandson is now the quarterback at USC. All right, so there's Sammy Watkins and David Johnson. One will have surgery, one will not. I want to move on to some of the, not even coaching changes, we talked a lot about that yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
But some of these owners and general managers and how they reacted yesterday. Because I think that tells a lot of the story and a lot of the dysfunction. Yeah. So let's start in San Francisco, where Jed York has been a problem for years.
Yes.
They think this guy is just an idiot, essentially. He is an imbecile, has no idea what he's doing. He had a fantastic GM who he let go because he had drinking problems. He deserved to be fired. Don't get me wrong. Trent Baalke takes over. Him and Jim Harbaugh don't get along at all. Instead of firing Baalke, they fire Harbaugh. Baalke turns down Adam Gase, hires Jim Tomasula instead. Then hires Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is given really nothing. He had no chances. I'm not saying he's a good coach, but he had no chance. Chip Kelly gone, Baalke gone. And Jed York literally had to answer a question yesterday saying, how do you replace the owner? And he's like, this is my team. You don't.
You can't replace
the
owner.
Can't replace me.
Nope. Not going nowhere.
Do you know what you're doing? No, but I'm still here.
Yeah. It was a clown show, from my understanding, from what I read and saw in San Francisco yesterday. It looks like, Tony, they're going to try to find, after the dysfunction with Chip Kelly and Trent Baalke, and of course, it leaks out yesterday, by the way, speaking of that, it leaks out that, you know what quarterback Chip Kelly won in the draft this year?
Which one?
Well, yes.
Dak Prescott.
Correct! Chip Kelly was all ready to draft Dak Prescott this year, and Trent Baalke said no. Whether that's true or not, who knows?
Thank God he didn't.
But, so now all Jed York wants, he wants the general manager and a coach that are going to work together. So they tried to reach out Chris Ballard in Kansas City, who's like vice president of operations there. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know what? I am not getting involved in San Francisco. Reached
Smart
out
move.
To Nick Caserio and Josh McDaniels in New England. Said, well, we'll see.
We'll double back after the playoffs. We'll holler at you.
We'll see about that. San Francisco dysfunction, and a lot of it comes down to the owner, Tone, which does not make that job an easy one to take.
No. And you think of Josh McDaniel, he's going to definitely be very hesitant when the second job comes in. I guess he's already eliminated himself from the Buffalo situation.
Yep.
Because of Eric Mangini realizing what happens when you piss off Bill Belichick. And that could be a career ender. And he's not going to go in the same division as the New England Patriots. The Rams are surprising to me because we all thought they were going to hire a big-name coach, but it's the same names the Rams are interviewing as everybody else.
Yeah, the Rams are casting a really wide net in these possible coaching candidates.
They certainly are, from young to old to established to not, which they should, right? You should do your due diligence and get it right. I don't blame them.
Just don't go for a Jeff Fisher and, you know,
right.
based on the pedigree.
So I don't blame them for wide-ranging interview a million guys. You figure out what's right for you.
Yeah.
So I...
Be careful about this because you're making a commitment here.
I give the Rams credit for that.
Yeah.
Okay? I do not give the Bills any credit for anything at the moment. Because Doug Whaley, their general manager... who, let's face it, traded the moon to go up and get Sammy Watkins. That one didn't work out. Traded a draft away to go get Watkins. Obviously has not worked out. Then, remember, they had Rex. They wanted Rex to bring the pizzazz back to Buffalo. To bring the Rex show to Buffalo. And it worked, right? Like, they got more attention because of Rex Ryan, which is exactly what they were looking for.
Then they canned him.
I'm getting there. First, they canned Greg Roman. And yeah, it was Rex's decision. They cut out the offense coordinator that Rex brought in there. Then they canned Rex. And you know what? Doug Whaley, he was asked about this yesterday, about canning Rex and the decision. He said he didn't hire Rex. He didn't fire Rex. He had no opinions on Rex. This is the general manager of the team. I didn't fire him. I didn't hire him. Doug Whaley's answers yesterday were embarrassing. If you're the general manager and you have no control over anything, why are you employed?
Why is he even there in the first
what
place?
Are you, and this is a guy that's going to pick Tony, his third head coach.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, he's not really going to pick his third head coach, and that's pretty evident. Yeah. He can say all he wants because he didn't pick the last head coach. So
clearly
not. Picking this one. But if I'm the owner of the team, he has to be fired.
Yes!
If all that's true, you can't come out and say that.
No. You got to take the bullet for your owner.
Why'd you throw me under the bus like that?
It's a real bad situation. And if you're a Bills fan, I wish Mike Florio was working today.
Yeah, me too.
It's a disgrace to think that's your franchise.
It's embarrassing. And then it comes down that, like, this Tyrod Taylor thing even gets worse. They made sure, and I assume it comes from Whaley, because E.J. Manuel was Whaley's pick. Let's not forget that. They took in the, you know, they had a montage video, I guess, Buffalo, right? They had a big montage video.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I assume on their website or somewhere or on Twitter. All the highlights of the season. It's fine. I mean,
yeah. Teams do that.
Teams do that, whether you're 4-15 or whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Every team does.
They didn't include Tyrod Taylor in the video. He was their starting quarterback for 15 weeks.
Why do they hate him?
I don't know.
They show like backup defensive backs, you know,
right?
Not team highlight videos.
They didn't include their starting quarterback for 15 weeks.
Ross Cockrell assisted in about 15 tackles.
Yeah, you
know, I don't like got that. Taylor as the type of kid that people don't like. Or
no,
people, or has
I don't get that either.
I don't see why. But why do they hate? They hate him.
Hate him.
Yeah, I don't get it.
EJ Manuel less
probably
than a half.
Probably something going on behind the scenes that nobody's talking.
Really,
about.
Really, but Tyrod Taylor though, I don't see it. What is he doing? Like having sex with his teammates' wives? I don't understand it.
Right, I don't know.
It might be a personality conflict of some sort.
With Tyrod Taylor though, I've seen him talk to them. He seems like about as straight, as you can get. Yeah.
Nice dude. Yeah, works hard. It seems.
The one thing I did hear going into the season, though, about Taylor, though, is that they felt like, you know, that he wasn't enough of a pocket passer.
Why did they give him $30 million?
Yeah. I don't know.
Their actions say differently.
I'm saying, you know, this is what the beat reporters were saying about him, that, you know,
I totally agree, but the bottom line is they gave him a $30 million contract.
And you know what? That's fine. They felt like give him a year. Let's see if we can turn him more into the pocket passer we want. That's fine.
Yeah.
And if you feel like he's not a fit for your organization going forward, he's not the guy you want, again, that's fine. But to eliminate everything he did this year, when really he did his damnedest taking you to the playoffs, but it was your coaching staff that effed it all up.
He didn't really have anything either, like with a hurt Watkins. I wonder.
Hurt Woods.
Woods stepped up and did a nice job when he was healthy. I'm wondering if Taylor ends up quarterbacking somewhere else.
Where he can be appreciated.
Somewhere where he can have some weaponry, etc. Like Corey says, somewhere where he can be appreciated, etc. You know, this is a guy that I can't totally cross off my fantasy radar.
He only threw 6 interceptions this year. Don't get me wrong; he doesn't throw the football a lot.
Who's
going to catch it?
Going into the last game here against the Jets, they had the least turnovers in the NFL. They had 9. 9 turnovers they had. If they had no turnovers on Sunday, they had 3 of them, they were going to have the least turnovers in NFL history.
I bet you Chip Kelly would have took him. Chip Kelly would have had
killed
a job
for him.
Yeah. He would have fit perfectly.
Sure. So I don't understand the Bills. I don't understand Doug Whaley. I don't understand Russ Brandon.
He could still end up in San Francisco.
And if you're a head coaching candidate, why in the hell do you want to get yourself involved in this and go to Buffalo?
It makes no sense.
Somebody's going to want a job.
Well, someone always wants a job. Yeah. That's how Mike Pettine ends up in Cleveland.
Yeah, but you see, when you take these jobs, they tend to follow you. Oh, you were the asshole that went 0-16 in Cleveland. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
well, think about Mike Pettine, right? Like you were he was the leak to the media with Rex Ryan, had a good year in Buffalo with the defense. Then nobody wanted that Cleveland Browns job. They begged people to take it. And this is the only schmuck that's like, all right, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And they got fired after a year. And then look what happened. Now he doesn't have a job.
Now, yeah, exactly. Look what happens to him. So you got to be careful.
And especially if things don't go your way in Buffalo, right? You accept the head coaching job, you may not ever get another chance. Like, no. That's it.
Bad news, but...
Like, you think one of the top candidates, Josh McDaniels or Kyle Shanahan, are taking that job? No freaking way.
No.
No way. You get someone like Tommy C in there who doesn't give a shit.
You want to go, you know, maybe to Jacksonville.
Some people don't like the Jacksonville job either, I was reading yesterday.
Really?
So I thought, I agree. I thought
Khan was a well-liked owner.
He is a well-liked owner because he gave Gus Bradley, like, enough time to do it. Yeah. Caldwell, supposedly a really liked guy as well. The problem is... You got Blake Bortles there. And if you don't like Blake Bortles, you're putting yourself in a no-win situation. You can't. If you don't think you can win with him, how do you go there?
Bortles came out yesterday and said that he was playing with two shoulder injuries and a wrist injury.
Thanks, Blake.
And that's why he played bad.
Thanks, Blake. Really owned, up, really owned up to it.
But that's part of the problem, though. There were so many times in games that he just kept himself in the game. And you give him credit for that, but it definitely hurt his play. I mean... I remember when he first hurt that shoulder, I was like, holy crap, he was down on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
And he threw the ball, right? So I'm like, damn. So you give the guy credit for going out there and play. See, I think that he can play in this league. I don't think he's ever been more than a top 15 quarterback, but he'll be a middle-of-the-road quarterback. I think he could do a lot worse.
All right, so
I agree
so
that
then,
he can play, but let me to Tony's point right quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do get credit for playing with the banged-up shoulder and the banged-up wrist. But what you lose credit is when the day the season's over. Hey, I was hurt all season. Yeah. You see? This is why we don't got no coach. I was hurt. I did the best I can.
Amari Cooper said the same thing after the season last
year. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
I discredit him the same way. I don't like that Blake Bortles
was
did.
Was Amari Cooper hurt again this year? after week six fantasy plays,
yeah,
well,
hurt.
No, you know.
Sure.
We didn't get the production.
Absolutely. It's a great question. So I think... If you can't accept the Jacksonville job unless you believe you can turn Blake Bortles around. And if you think you can make him Kirk Cousins, right, who we all agree is a middle-of-the-road quarterback.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. I wasn't here yesterday.
If you can make Blake Bortles Kirk Cousins, then you'll take the job. If you can't, probably can't take the job.
You got to figure somebody like Shanahan is probably like, they got pieces there.
Shanahan's going to Denver. I am so convinced of that.
I feel that.
Shanahan's going to go to Denver. Yeah.
It just seems like a good fit.
It just makes sense. Where his dad coach, his first job was given to him by Gary Kubiak. He was a ball boy in Denver. Kyle Shanahan's
that offensive mind.
You'll keep Wade Phillips in there.
Yeah.
But what is he going to do with his quarterback? He needs a quarterback.
I don't know about that. You know who he loves?
Who?
Your boy. Colt McCoy. Kyle Shanahan loves Colt McCoy.
I'm telling you, Colt McCoy.
You know who Denver will sign? They're going to sign Rex Grossman. The Shanahans love Rex Grossman.
I don't know. No. We can't do the Rex Grossman thing. But Colt McCoy, please give a... If anybody, Kyle Shanahan, if you're listening, bring Colt McCoy to Denver. And I'm telling you, Colt McCoy
he'll make a good backup.
On my fantasy teams next year.
God, get the hell out of here.
I don't know why you're hating on Colt McCoy. Y'all keep hating on Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy can play.
I don't get it.
Maybe in the Arena Football League.
So that's the deal with Jacksonville, Buffalo, and the San Francisco opening. We talked about Los Angeles as well. People are taking their time, doing their due diligence. Sean Payton, who we thought was the favorite probably yesterday for the Los Angeles job, he said, Tony, he's staying in New Orleans. He's got a 4-year contract. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but there's nothing really you could say, so I give him credit for that, but I don't know how much I believe in it. I really think that based on some of those, he'll be stuck there. I think he'll be stuck there. The Saints would take a first-round pick, I think, though, if they wanted to make a trade for coaching staff.
I can see the Saints doing that also. Let me ask, what you guys think about that situation. I caught a little bit of this yesterday. with the cult. Like,
something weird going on.
Yeah,
there.
Something weird going on.
Very
in
weird day
something
in
weird
Indianapolis.
Going on in Indianapolis, because nobody has a clue what's going on. Like, even Pagano's kind of like, "Well, I'm still here today." Like, you know what I mean?
Pagano,
like,
said he expects to stay, even though he hasn't met with the owner.
Yeah, he expects to stay. Gregson didn't speak yesterday. It's very weird.
Here's what I think is going to happen there. I believe that Irsay is going to tell Chuck Pagano he needs to fire his staff.
Right.
And then Pagano's going to fight him, and he hopes Pagano quits.
I think so, too.
I can see that.
I think so, too. Because I don't know why Irsay gave him four-year extensions last year. That made no sense.
No.
Irsay's a weird character, too, though.
He's got a lot of off-field issues.
Yeah, he does. off the sweet issues, I guess you can call them. Yeah. Other coaching candidate, and this will do it for our coaching updates today. Vance Joseph, a lot of love for Vance Joseph all around the league, Tony.
Yeah, you know what? It's so funny because you know some of the candidates have no shot at getting a job.
You think this is one of them?
I think it could
be. They like him in San Francisco.
They like him everywhere.
San Francisco, they're going to just take whoever they can get, right? Yeah. I mean, when you look at about it. But what has he done that's been successful?
He's had 1 year as defensive coordinator in this league. I mean, he was, I guess, a secondary coach under Mike Zimmer in Cincinnati, and then left Cincinnati to go with the defensive coordinator of Miami, and he had some good players, right? He had Ndamukong Suh. He got a good year out of Byron Maxwell. I'm not saying he had a bad year, but, like, a guy like Sean McDermott had better years than this guy, right?
Right, yeah. To me, this guy's coaching resume is
not enough.
Not enough, but I think you get in some of the, like, he's the San Francisco 49ers. We've already talked about how certain people are not going to go there. Like, he could fall into a situation like that, or Buffalo, but he's got a very, very short resume.
He's probably a Rooney. I mean, Rooney.
I don't know if he is, because, and I hate to just, like, characterize him as a Rooney guy. I don't think he is. I think he's a legit candidate. There's a lot of openings. To me, he seems like a legitimate candidate for these jobs. Like, I felt in the past that Anthony Lynn was, like, a Rooney guy, and this special teams dude on the Chiefs that was going to interview for position before he pulled out, like, I thought he was a Rooney guy. I don't think Vance Joseph is a Rooney guy. I think he's legit.
I think he's a Rooney guy this year. I think
in
down the road.
Kind of like Terrell Austin, you think?
Yeah, I think something down like the road he'll end up getting an opportunity. I don't know. I think this year he might be
the Rooney guy.
An easy name to call in. You know what I'm saying?
Because, like, people kind of like him. It's like, all right, I'll throw this guy in.
And you don't look like you're fronting when you bring him in. You
right.
know what I mean?
But you know what? We joke about that. Mike Tomlin was a Rooney guy in Pittsburgh, and he got the job.
But he was with Rooney, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So, yeah, you know, if the guy who makes the rule brings you in, then you have a good shot.
It's true.
Yeah.
But he was only there never for the Rooney rule. Like, Ken Whisenhart was getting that job.
Yeah, I guess
you know that story. They're all set to hire Ken Whisenhart, but they had to interview an African American or a minority to fulfill the job. Tomlin came in, blew him away in the interview, and they hired him.
But the thing, but what I'm saying, the thing about this, that's the intrigue is, if you're Rooney, you kind of have to be like, I gotta hire the guy. I gotta put my money where my mouth is.
You don't have to hire him. You don't have to hire him. You can hire a white guy.
No, I feel what you're saying, but. It's the Rooney rule.
I get it.
They implemented
you're saying they have to give him a legitimate shot.
They have to give him a legitimate shot.
Not
because it's like, okay, if we came up with the rule.
Right.
Whatever. We got a candidate in here that we think is good.
Right.
We kind of have to hire him now.
Right.
And he's a great cheerleader, according to Terry.
and for the most part, it worked. Ten seasons,
been to two Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl. Absolutely, it's working. And they got a shot this year, right? They got a shot.
Yeah, they got a shot this year.
Got a shot. All right. Let's take a break.
Do they have the second best shot in the AFC?
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Scott?
I feel like I go back and forth on this one because I feel like Kansas City may be a better all-around team. But then again, can you go to a Super Bowl with Alex Smith? I just don't know.
I think it's Kansas City.
I think the way that the way that the brackets are fleshing out, though, Pittsburgh's going to go to Kansas City, and I don't think they're going to win there.
I think everybody has this New England Pittsburgh AFC Championship game
written in.
I think it's New England Kansas City.
It's possible.
I think so too. I think, and I was having this discussion downstairs with Frank Stanfield and Chris Pavone yesterday. Everybody's looking at Pittsburgh. The mistake they're making is they're grading everything by offense.
And you've said that since week six, right? Yeah. When I was like, Pittsburgh's going to the playoffs, you're like, defense, and I'm like,
well, I was wrong about that. You know, the AFC is.
You're not wrong about that because you're still saying it. You're still saying it. We're all looking at the offense. We're not looking at the defense. You're still saying
it. I mean, that's what we're saying. People are saying nobody wants to see Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I don't know if anybody's necessarily.
Right.
I don't think Kansas City would be scared of Pittsburgh.
I don't think Kansas City is scared of Pittsburgh either, especially. Yeah. I think Kansas City would be afraid of going to Pittsburgh. But now, staying at home at Arrowhead, I agree with you.
Yeah.
They're not scared of Pittsburgh. Do you think, but like, Tony, I'm sure they don't care, but if you had to give them truth serum, I would think that New England would rather face Kansas City than Pittsburgh.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, Rodney Harrison laughed at the notion of the Kansas City Chiefs on the broadcast 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Saying they handled them easy last year, they would handle them easily again.
All right.
Yeah, there's just not enough weapons there.
I agree with that. The one thing that Pittsburgh does present is, you know, Pittsburgh is shooting out with you. If you get if Ben come in there and he's having one of his good games and the offense is working, that can be scary.
Yeah.
If you play the Patriots, you're going to have to score 28 points to win that game at a minimum. And Pittsburgh's really the only team that you could say confidently can go in there and put up 28 points.
I have less confidence on the road with them.
Let's hit the break. We come back. We'll talk more NFL stuff right after this. We're back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parsons, Scott Engel, Tony Sicada, myself, Greg Sussman. A couple news and notes here that I do want to get to quickly. Latavius Murray should be get more work this week in the playoffs. Jack Del Rio isn't sure what happened. I always hate that response. You know, we just talked about Blake Bortles saying I was injured and my shoulders hurt. That's why I had a bad year. I hate the response. We've seen it from Rex Ryan in the past, for instance, that the head coach says, I don't know why this guy didn't get carries. This guy should get more carries.
Oh, you know who's notorious for that?
That's BS.
Andy Reid was notorious for that.
Really?
Yeah, Andy Reid.
Oh, like with Brian Westbrook.
And with Jamal Charles, too. Why didn't Charles carry the ball? I don't know. We got to do a better job at that next week.
That's BS.
Screw you.
I don't want to. It was you.
Lord
ass. The difference between Andy Reid and at least Jack Del Rio is Reid's like the offensive guy. He's either calling the plays or heavily involved at that. Jack Del Rio's the defensive guy. He's the head coach. He's letting Bill Musgrave just call everything. But if you want Latavius Murray to carry the ball, don't you go, Bill, stop with this DeAndre Washington nonsense and put Latavius Murray in the game. You're the head coach.
Well, you know, it'll piss us off, but it is what it is. The coaches are never going to tell the truth. They're never going to let on their game plans publicly. You know, obviously, you know, he was okay with DeAndre Washington getting the ball, but he doesn't have to admit that to the media.
So then why should he come out and essentially throw his offensive coordinator under the bus?
How's he throwing him under the bus?
He says he doesn't understand why Latavius Murray didn't get the ball more.
He's lying. And, and you know, in close quarters, he's telling Musgrave, I'm cool with it. And Musgrave probably doesn't care what he says publicly.
That's so interesting. Tony, what do you think about this?
It's always fascinating to me, the whole NFL coaching spectrum. To come out and make that effort and say, hey, maybe at the end of the game you get stuck in the game flow, you're watching it, and say, man, we got to get this guy the ball. The other two backs didn't do so bad in those last couple games.
No, they were okay. They didn't really run the ball nearly enough this week. I know how Houston wins games. We have seen with no quarterback all year how Houston can win a game.
Yeah, play good defense.
Give the ball to Lamar Miller and pray. Right? Corey, how does Oakland win on Sunday?
Oh, boy.
Do they just not?
Oakland's in a tough spot because they're a good team, but that quarterback situation is probably going to be too much to handle. Now they end up in a situation where they were the 2 seed. Now they have to go on the road to Houston. I think just because Houston is so poor, they'll be able to keep it close. I do think Houston's able to escape here and get a victory because of the injuries that Oakland is dealing with. But they're going to have to run the football, and that's where you can get some action against the Houston Texans defense. But they're very good defensively, and they're going to be better at home.
Anybody know off the top of their head what Houston's home record is this year?
They're undefeated.
They are.
No, they're 7-1.
7-1.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. I know they were like 2-7 or something like on the 2-6 on the road or something like that, and they needed to be that good at home to win it. They're much better at home. If the spread stays where it is at like 2.5, I really like Houston. Like, I don't know how Matt McGloin's going to score against this defense.
If it's Matt McGloin. You know.
Or Connor Cook.
Yeah.
Connor Cook was calling plays he's never heard before. Yeah. He literally said, I have no idea what this was.
Is he a tall heel, Connor Cook?
No. He's a Spartan.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was a tall heel.
No.
Not that it makes a difference.
He's a Spartan. He was the guy, by the way, Connor Cook. Did you see draft? You guys saw draft there, right?
Yeah.
I know you did, Scott. Did you see draft day?
I didn't see. I got the DVD in the house right now, so I haven't watched it. Yeah.
Connor Cook's the guy, like the quarterback in draft day, where nobody went to his birthday party and they couldn't understand why. That's Connor Cook.
That's Connor Cook.
Nobody. He wasn't voted captain his senior year, and the NFL teams couldn't understand why. And that's the reason he dropped. One of the reasons he dropped the fourth round. Nobody likes him. Seriously, I'm kidding. So Connor Cook, nobody likes this guy anyway. He starts, and you're not going to know. If who's going to start in this game, I would say for a while. I think we'll find out today that Brock Osweiler is going to start for Houston. Yep. But
that's the expectation. Yeah.
If this spread, Tony, stays at 2, 2.5, like you gotta like Houston, right?
You don't have to like Houston. There's going to be one turnover in this game.
Right
there. If I had to pick one of them, I would actually go the Oakland side of things.
Really?
And it's great that Brock Osweiler is going to get an opportunity to redeem himself. They have the better players there. But I really think that the Oakland running game is going to keep them in the game. And they can get enough of a pass rush on Brock Osweiler. One mistake, one turnover is there. I think Oakland's going to be very conservative until they have to throw the ball.
And I can see that also. And the thing about Brock Osweiler is he will give you that one turnover, too, that you're looking for. So he would have to – Brock would have to lose the game for them. And he has to be careful because those Texans fans, they came to Matt Schaub's house one time.
They did. They did.
And they would definitely look
– By the way, I don't mean to change the subject here, but this was something we discussed before.
Okay.
And my friend Steve Phillips on MLB Network just said – there's a good chance Jose Bautista doesn't sign until after the June draft. I don't see anyone giving up a first-round pick.
And that kind of goes along with what we were talking about previously. Yeah. So we also do want to clarify.
Steve's probably listening to this show.
That's right.
The information.
So we do want to clarify that, though. So we looked it up, Tone. They changed the rule. He can now re-sign with Toronto, and they won't lose the draft pick if he signs with them before June. So we did look that up. It seems that rule was changed recently, but they obviously won't get a pick back if he re-signs with Toronto. So there you go. Rob Kelly, it sounds like Jay Gruden likes him. He had a great, great year, Jay Gruden said. Scotty, you buying that?
I think you look at where he came out of. He basically came out of nowhere. We thought it was going to be Matt Jones. And he had some good games, but I just felt like the consistency wasn't there. He had that huge game down the stretch, but I just don't feel like Rob Kelly yet. I don't feel like he'd be the guy. I feel like it's going to be like a two running back sort of timeshare there in Washington. I feel like Kelly will be part of it, but you know maybe they still give Matt Jones a longer look there. But I can't see him being like the clear number one running back heading into training camp next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Jay Gruden doesn't value the spot, and they could let him do it.
Yeah, I think
it wouldn't surprise me.
I won't shock me if they give somebody else the chance to battle for carries.
That wouldn't shock me either. That wouldn't shock me.
I think Kelly showed, you know, the ability to push the pile to get in the end zone, but you know he doesn't have a lot of speed. I don't think he's ideally the guy that they want to be a bell cow necessarily.
We talked about Brock Osweiler and Connor Cook and Matt McGloin. Rumor has it the Bengals are making it a priority to trade A.J. McCarron. Tony, isn't this something we hear literally every year?
Yeah, but I really think when you look at the NFL that there's a great opportunity here for A.J. McCarron to get dealt in this kind of a deal. But the problem is that you don't get a lot in these NFL trades for quarterbacks. So I think the expectations are never met as far as a form of a draft pick. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a name that's going to be floated out there.
Yep. Mike Glennon.
Glennon's going to be a name. Yep. So there is a lot of guys there. So I really don't think that it's necessarily going to be an option. They'll shop him around, and then they're going to be disappointed what they get for him.
I totally agree with you because I feel like these teams will just be like, you know what, we can find our own A.J. McCarron. Like, it's not like a guy that is a must trade for, a must get, I don't think. I mean, A.J. McCarron looks fine. Nothing special. So,
not a bad based on two I would teams, take Colt McCoy over A.J. McCarron.
I'm sure you would.
Based on two teams, right, that are in the postseason
and
don't know who their quarterback is this weekend,
yep.
I don't think teams are going to be in a rush to trade backup quarterbacks.
I agree with you. It does make sense. I totally agree with you.
It depends. Like, in the past, we've seen backup quarterbacks, like, you know, have a lot of cachet to them. I mean, McCarron's not one of those guys.
Right.
He played okay, you know, when he was pressed into it as a rookie.
Yes.
You know, with when Andy Dalton got hurt, I think, you know, he showed some composure there. He showed some talent. But I don't think anybody's saying, okay, you know, this is the guy that we want to be our starter.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there remains to be seen if we get to that point. A.J. McCarron, while he may not be an NFL starter, he does have a hilarious chest tattoo. So
oh, really?
He's not going for it. You never think that, right?
I would never think.
Look that up. You'll laugh for sure during the break. We'll come back, talk more about A.J. McCarron's chest as well as a funny commercial I saw last night. Stick around. It's Road to Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, Corey, did you check out the A.J. McCarron chest tattoo?
Yeah, A.J. McCarron has lost his mind.
Okay.
I would never in a million years would have guessed that he would have that kind of chest tat, but apparently he's into that kind of stuff.
Scott, you check out that A.J. McCarron chest tattoo?
No, I was looking at ESPN's post awards, like Offensive Player, Rookie of the Year, stuff like that.
But the chest tattoo is funnier.
I'm more interested in, you know, what... who ESPN thought the MVP
was. What do you
care
what ESPN thinks?
What?
What do you care what ESPN thinks?
We had an interesting discussion on it yesterday about, I wanted to see if we missed any categories.
Okay.
Necessarily. And then when I had that conversation with Jake Seeley about, I think he's the only one who thinks that David Johnson should be considered for the MVP. And I said, you can't have an MVP from a losing team. You know, they said that MVP was Matt Ryan, but Offensive Player of the Year, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, well, that never makes sense to me much, but that's fine. Tony, can you check out this chest tattoo?
I'm going to check out A.J. McCarron's chest tattoo.
I want a live Google.
I'll tell you what. Do you guys, who here has tattoos? Anyone have a tattoo?
I do not.
No.
I only have one on my arm. Corey, any tattoos?
Nope.
I can't imagine what it would feel like to get a chest tattoo like this. like this is crazy. I wonder what people think in the locker room when he, like, if he keeps a shirt on or if the people, like, this
locker
is
room is probably full of chest tattoos, though.
I saw something on Facebook yesterday, Tony, where, like, somebody had a tattoo of Ronnie James Dio on their right forearm. And, you know, the great rock and roller, and said, this is a really cool tattoo until you realize that he's going to be doing something to you for the rest of your life.
I'm
this
confused.
This is
crazy, right?
Yeah.
A.J. McCarron needs to lose a little weight. I'm seeing him at the beach with a girl.
The girl with her face blocked out?
Yeah. A.J.'s enjoying the backup quarterback life a little too much.
Don't he have a real good-looking woman?
Oh, that ain't...
Was that him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for him.
No, he does. He certainly does. Right, so that was funny. Right? I thought you knew you guys find that interesting. I was watching either the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl last night, and I saw this amazing commercial. You know, we was talking about these funny dating websites, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever heard of FarmersOnly.com?
Oh, yeah. Corey and I joked about that.
Yeah.
One of our listeners got married last year. We were saying maybe he got better on FarmersOnly.com.
So I
don't have to be lonely. Yeah.
So I didn't realize you guys were serious about that. FarmersOnly.com, their tagline is, quote, city folks just don't get it.
Yeah.
I should sign up for an account. Farmers Only.
You will not find anybody.
I think you'll have somebody willing to bite.
You don't look like a farmer, though.
Kevin Durant has some crazy tattoos, too.
Kevin Durant did wild out with his tattoos.
Kevin Durant's crazy tattoos.
Well, he got like...
He's always had them.
Don't he have Rick James on one?
Yeah, it's Rick James.
I don't know if these are real, because...
They are.
He has like the he has the Washington Nationals emblem on his belly button.
Well, yes, he's from D.C.
He's from Capitol Heights, Maryland, so that's the thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Durant was always crazy, because you never knew he had tattoos. They took his shirt off, his entire back and chest are all tatted up.
Yeah, this is different.
That Rick James one. Was Rick James and Tupac? He got two tattoos in the offseason. I think one was Rick James, I think one was Tupac.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Pro Football Focus this morning. Senior analyst Sam Monson
got tattooed.
Says Bill should build around Tyrod Taylor, not show him the door.
That's great, but Doug Whaley thinks that guy's an idiot, clearly. Doug Whaley hates him.
I'm going to read this.
Okay. You want to read it after
not
the
now,
show?
But okay. I'm bookmarking it so I can read it.
Okay.
If you build your franchise around Tyrod Taylor, you're accepting being mediocrity.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you know who also has funny chest tattoos?
What else? To play devil's advocate, though, what else is out there, though?
What is it we said?
You don't build around him. You just use him for a year or two as a play center until you get that franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It makes plenty of sense.
Hey, you know who I'm going to be in on if they end up in the right spot?
Who?
This Dalvin Cook.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's
good. He's a good running back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like him. There's a couple. This is actually a good running back draft. Cook and Fournette, obviously.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's a good running back draft, absolutely.
Fournette's a little too big for me.
Really? Is it really?
I look at today's NFL running backs. We don't see a lot of big backs that make it in this league.
Ajayi's a big back. Ajayi reminds me of Steven Jackson.
Well, Steven Jackson had a good career.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson had a good career. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, I want to take a break, guys. When we come back, I want to open it up to see how well you guys know what happened this past year in the NFL. So we'll have some fun with stats on the other side. This is the Road to Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's been a fun NFL season. We are officially done, though. Week 17 in the books. Playoffs begin, obviously, this weekend. We'll have more on the playoffs, no doubt. Over the next 3 days, give me all the updates, and hopefully Odell doesn't leave the state of New Jersey or New York.
Where does Odell live at? In New Jersey or the city?
That seems to be a question for you, not me.
Oh, I'll figure it out.
Pavona says Jersey.
Live in Jersey. Where,
where in Jersey, Pavona?
I think he lives in Bergen County.
That makes sense.
Does Eli still live in Hoboken or he moved? I think Eli moved from Hoboken.
No, Eli still lives in Hoboken.
He does.
My friend always sees him.
Okay, so he still lives in Hoboken. That's good.
I would trip him if I saw him.
That's not very nice.
Stick my foot out.
That's not very nice.
Eli Manning is questionable. That.
I'm sorry. Did you see Ronda Rousey get beat up the other night?
Yeah, we saw Ronda Rousey get beat up.
That was embarrassing.
It was, for sure.
I felt bad for her.
Did you?
No, I did. I didn't want to see Manning get the shit beat out them like that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right, gentlemen, 25 wide receivers this year had 1,000 yards receiving. 25. Ooh. That's a lot. How many can you name? We're playing some games. Bavona, hit me with some music, man, friends. Playing a little game here. Roto Experts in the Morning on a Tuesday. 25 receivers. We're going to go around. We will give you 3 outs each. And the winner will get a point. We got a whole bunch of these to do because I want to know how well you guys know the NFL season as fantasy analysts. So give it to me, Scott Angle.
Let her rip.
You can go first because you're sitting directly in front of me today. 25 receivers have 1,000 yards. Name them.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham Jr. is correct. It's one. Corey.
Julio Jones.
That's correct. Tone.
The number one wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton.
That's correct. Now you guys have gotten the top three. 22 to go, Scott.
Antonio Brown.
Correct.
Michael Crabtree.
Michael Crabtree is correct. Tony.
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson is correct. He's number 6. Scotty.
Doug Baldwin.
Dougie Fresh, correct.
That was a good one, Doug Baldwin. Not...
Tied a franchise record for receptions this year.
Oh, wow.
Corey?
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes, it's my lucky.
The young man, I believe he eclipsed 1,000 yards. The young man in San Diego, Tyrell Williams.
Tyrell Williams is correct.
Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman is correct. Moving right along. You guys are doing tremendous. Scotty.
Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry is correct. Corey.
Oh, that was Jarvis Landry was a good one. Now it's starting to get a little bit tougher now. Wide receivers, 1,000 yards.
Still 4 in the top 10 you have yet to name.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to... Somebody throw the... Golden Tate.
Golden Tate is correct. Tony.
Did we mention Mike Evans?
You did not. He's number 4 overall.
Yeah,
that is correct.
Say, When you said the top 10, I was like, oh, nobody said this.
That's right. Scotty.
Terrell Pryor.
Terrell Pryor is correct. Corey?
I'm
going to have to create Fantasy Jeopardy. We'll play that in the next couple of months.
Steve Smith Sr.?
Steve Smith Sr. is incorrect.
Oh, I got a strike.
You got a strike. Son, it's one of for you. Gun. Tony!
Do we strictly, is this only wide receivers?
This is strictly wide receivers, it seems. I don't think... No, it is not. It is not strictly wide receivers.
Oh. All right, Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce is correct. Scott?
Demaryius Thomas.
Correct.
Oh, Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders is correct. Tone.
I think DeSean Jackson.
Oh, that's
you think
good.
DeSean Jackson, you think correctly. DeSean Jackson Ooh. Is incorrect. Scotty, has been wonderful. I'm very impressed.
Let's see.
Still missing three. 7, 8, 9, the top 10. You're missing those three.
In the top 10, you said?
4, 5, 6, I think I know one. 7. You have 8 more to go total. 8 more to go.
Okay. Mari Cooper.
Correct. He's in the top 10, number 8.
My turn.
No, it is not. It's Corey's turn.
Larry Fitzgerald.
That is correct.
Larry Fitzgerald, good.
Tony.
I think we didn't say Mike Thomas.
You did not say Michael Thomas. That is correct. Doing tremendously. 5 to go. 1 more in the top 10.
Brandon Cooks.
That is the one in the top 10. That is correct. 4 more to go. This is impressive. Corey.
I know he had a good season. I don't know if he had 1,000 yard. Good. The offense was terrible, though.
Okay.
But Kenny Britt.
1,002 yards. He's number 25.
He just made it.
That is correct.
He just made it.
You have the only ones left are number 21, number 18, and number 16.
I'm going back to the tight end position. Greg Olsen.
That is correct. That was the last tight end on the board. 2 more to go. This is incredible.
I thought I had another tight end, but I guess
that's
not.
It. It's the last tight end. It's on the list. Only ones left here are number 18. And number 21. Only one strike between you guys. Very impressive.
Davante Adams.
He finished with 997 yards. 3 yards short of that.
Don't break the table.
It's a strike for Scotty.
Yeah.
3 yards short. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I won't go with...
That's crazy.
From Team Rocky Marciano, Adam Thielen.
That is incorrect. He finished with 967.
Wow.
He was right behind Davante Adams.
Yeah, he was one. He disappointed that last week. He had a shot.
For the record, these are these are the two hardest ones on the list. The ones you have not gotten yet.
Well, actually, I got one. I know one of them.
Okay.
Because I actually when I gambled with DeSean Jackson, that wasn't the right guess. Pierre Garçon. Oh,
that is correct. Good job,
makes
Tony.
Sense somebody had to be a 1,000 yard guy.
That was my next one.
That's correct.
Wow, the Pierre Garçon, 1,000 yard wide receiver.
Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson.
I went with the Redskins saying, I was just thinking of teams that threw for a lot of yards, and then I threw DeSean Jackson out, and then I remembered that Garçon actually, nobody ever pays any attention to him. He led the team in receiving.
That's right. He did. It's one of those crazy things. DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, both free agents in Washington, by the way.
Yep.
So that'll make it fun. All right, there's one more name on this list. You guys have done really, really well knowing your 1,000-yard receivers here this year. So with that being said, Scott Ning, one more name to go. Who is it?
Rishard Matthews.
He's not Rishard Matthews. He had 945.
Did he get close?
He did,
sure. 945.
945.
He didn't really take off until later on in the season.
Good guess, though.
Up to the fantasy executive trying to bring this thing home, huh?
You got to want it.
You gotta want it.
Okay, quarterbacks that threw the football a ton.
You've actually gotten everybody in the top 30 except for 3 guys, which is very impressive.
Quarterbacks that threw the football a ton.
I think I know it now.
Wow.
Corey just told me who it was.
I think it's funny you said that because I felt like once Corey said that you would get it, Tony.
I screwed it up. I said Steve Smith is Mike Wallace.
Yes.
There you go, Mike Wallace.
We said it.
You said that. I said Joe Flacco.
There it is. There it is. You guys have nailed the top 25 all with 1,000 or more yards. And well done, gentlemen. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Clap it up.
Good job, everybody. Really great job here by the Roto Experts in the morning. Like I said to you just a few seconds ago, the two that surprised me here the most was Pierre Garçon and Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace had a really quietly interesting year. 72 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns for Mike Wallace here.
You say one Garçon trade. Surprised you, but everybody underrated him all year long.
All year long.
The Greenwich Street Tavern League, I made one trade during the year. I traded Darren Sproles for Mike Wallace, and that really helped me out with some depth at wide receiver that really put it in.
People thought Mike Wallace was done, too.
It's true.
Yeah. He was an unbelievable wide receiver three. When you think about it, wide receiver three, and you're getting 1,000 yards from the guy.
Another quirky stat in regards to Darren Sproles, who you mentioned, Tony. Darren Sproles, I believe, had 2 more catches total this year than T.J. Yeldon.
That's crazy.
Just a weird stat.
That's today's NFL.
Yeah, it's just a weird stat. Both these guys banged up, and you thought Darren Sproles is a big PPR year. T.J. Yeldon is the same thing.
No, Yeldon in that backfield is actually going to – it's going to be real interesting if an offensive coordinator gets that, because I think he could be a guy that if they threw the ball 40 times a game, that could absolutely be a guy that gets you 5 or 6 catches each week. Kind of like Ingram, though, not like the Ingram – people forget that Ingram last year in 12 games caught 51 balls. He can catch the ball really well.
That's what people really liked and about him this year.
Yeah, and I think the same thing could happen with T.J. Yeldon. Their offensive line is just not good enough to run the ball tackle to tackle, but I think he could be a back that's people will get in the 10th, 11th, 12th round, and you could have some upside.
100%. He's a guy, unlike Duke Johnson, Corey, who I know you hate, you look at it, I feel like T.J. Yeldon, new coach, new offense a little bit, he could have some upside.
Oh, he couldn't.
Or he couldn't.
Here's the thing. I think the new guy, especially – I just talked about him. Why not bring Cook in? They draft players from Florida a lot.
Sure. I think they have other needs in a running back.
Yeah. If they don't pick an offensive lineman in the first round with all the times that Blake Bortles has been, that would be a severe injustice. They need to get some offensive line help.
Yeah, they desperately do need that offensive line help. They've been repacking that defense over and over again, and that's been good. The defense is obviously getting better. They're young. They're improving. The offensive line, a major area of concern here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I totally agree with you, Tony. That has to be the spot they go to first in the draft coming up.
Always can get running backs a little later in the draft. It seems like more and more we wait on these guys, and we can reproduce them, recycle them.
Yes, we can. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll move from the wide receivers to the running backs. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning plays the games right after this.